All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is where we're at. Let's review just for a moment. You know what that means. You know that my reviews probably aren't just going to last a moment, but let's just take a minute to... Paul's closing up his thoughts here, and he's just about ready to get into some names and some people and salutations and saying goodbye. But before he does that, in verse 13, we're looking in verses 13 to 14, he stops and he kind of says something. You know, the closing words when you're ready to leave are probably important words and words you want to make an impact. And so he does. He very clearly stops the people and he says, all right, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. And then he moves into those last 10 verses or so, where he gives his goodbyes. And so we look at two verses. We started last week, and we're going to try to get through these the rest of them tonight, just in these two verses. All right, so Paul says to watch. Watch ye. Be on diligent guard. I want you to be very careful to watch what's going on. Be circumspect. Be alert. To be alive. To be awake. And so we looked at a number of things that we need to be alert about, awake about, and not walk through life in a very apathetic way. And so we're to be on guard, and let me just review with you. Be on guard for sin. 1 Peter 5:8 says what? Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Yeah, the devil. Our enemy, the devil, is walking about, right? As a roaring lion, got my words all tangled up there, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for people that are weak. What are some practical ways we can, I say watch, you know, and he says to watch, but how can we prepare ourselves for this roaring lion that is about to get us? What are some things that we can do to protect ourselves against him? I'm asking you, what can we do to protect ourselves? Practical ways to watch. Logan.
Daily prayer and daily Bible reading.
Okay, so fellowship and communication with God. Good. Jim.
Armor of God.
Oh, the armor of God, right? We need to put on the armor of God to protect us. Good things. Anybody else? Anything else that we need to be doing? Those are some main things these guys got. Anything else you think of? We need to be prepared, right? And what? But one of the ways is to be awake and don't be just going through life coasting and surfing through life, thinking that you're untouchable. That's not true. And Satan loves to reach out there. And so we need to be on guard concerning sin and the devil. We need to be on guard concerning upcoming dangers. You remember Proverbs 22:3 talks about being prudent. A prudent man foreseeth what's coming and all the things. You know, he's going to, you know, especially a father, dads that are here. I want to tell you, we've got to be careful with what our families are being introduced to. We've got to be the ones looking out for, and mothers as well, and it goes on. Grandparents, we need to be very careful what things come into our homes. I want to tell you, let's be careful with one of the things that just God brought to my mind right now is the mail. The mail today, you know what I'm talking about? The mail is... I'm talking about the physical mail that you get in your box or at the door. Families, I want to tell you, you need to be careful with that, because today the mail's loaded up with things visually that you can see that we ought not look at. And that's exactly what this is talking about. Be on guard. You know, don't just, you know, grab the mail and say, oh, what could be in here, and throw it on the kitchen counter or the table or something like that, just for somebody to innocently pick up and get corrupted with that. You see, we got to be careful and prudent with these things. Be on guard. You say, you know what, I don't know what's in that there, and, you know, quickly go through it, but you know, be careful even who goes through it. You know, I would rather my wife go through it than me go through it. Just to quickly, you know, most of it's junk anyway that we don't care about. But to then take it and to get rid of it somehow. And we need to even be prudent with that. Now, I'm not taking it too far. This is called walking circumspectly, walking prudent. We need to make sure that we don't even want to give ourselves the opportunity to do wrong. And so we want to get it out of there. And that's just one little thing that God brought to my mind. But in all areas of life, we need to be watching and we need to be prudent, not just towards sin, but to, you know, temptations or upcoming dangers. What is going to be dangerous for my family? What is going to be dangerous for myself? You know, should I go to this place? I recognize that this is a dangerous thing. You know what? I'm going to go past this, and I know that I'm going to be tempted with this. Maybe I ought to go a different route. Folks, you know, Paul here is telling us, God is telling us, closing words, he's saying these things are very important. He said, you need to be very watchful, be very prudent, be very careful. What's going on for upcoming dangers. We need to be watching to be useful in ministry. And a number of you read verses. We need to be ready and watchful to give the gospel and preach. We need to be ready to distribute, to give. We need to be ready to sacrifice and die for the cause of Christ. We need to be ready to do good work in Titus chapter 3. We need to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh in 1 Peter. That's all a part of being watchful. We need to be watchful concerning false teaching in 2 Timothy, and we need to be careful that you compare things with Scripture. What does God's Word say about this? And I'll tell you, we get a lot of things coming over the television, coming over the internet today is the bigger thing. And I just want to say, be careful. And I have warned you enough. Well, not enough. I'm going to warn you again. Be very careful on taking in your spiritual well-being from the internet. Honestly, you can find an article on anything from any perspective, and you have no idea who's writing it. You might say, oh, this one's a good one because it fits the topic. Honestly, there's so many topics you can type in or say in to whatever device you use. You can talk into it and you can tell it. And I can guarantee you, you're probably going to get many, many articles with those keywords. And they're going to sound very good with all kinds of scripture that who knows who's writing it? Who knows what religion this person is coming from? Who knows what it is? And you might read it, it might sound good. Oh, look at, they're using scripture. It must be okay. Folks, just because they're using scripture does not mean that they're using it right. People have taken scripture and applied it in all kinds of different ways. All kinds of different ways. And then I say the most, you know, one of the things up today is you know, AI. And again, I understand you can use it for good things, but I tell you what, you better be careful with it. I'm not saying that you can't, but you better be careful using it because you can ask. Listen, don't ask AI spiritual questions to know how can I get help my, you know, how can I do this? Listen, go to the Word of God to get that. Now, might it use the Word of God? It might, okay? But I'm just going to say it's only as good as the people putting it in there or whatever, and it can come from any perspective. You know, don't ask AI if you should do this right or wrong. Should I do this or should I not do that? Don't go to that. You might laugh, but I tell you what, it's so powerful, it would be tempting for you to go to it to be your guide. God is not your guide. God is your guide. AI is not your guide, okay? Be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful what you're getting online. Be careful what you're getting in books. Be careful what you're getting. Just because a person claims to know Christ on the television doesn't mean that it is truth, okay? I say that enough, and then every once in a while I'll go out and I'll be talking to a person and somebody will tell me, yeah, I was listening to this, whatever, and I'm just, Lord help. Lord help. So be watchful. Be very careful. Be prudent where you're getting your quote-unquote truth. Next phrase, stand fast in the faith. And we talked about this last week. To stand fast is to be determined to remain unchanged concerning the faith, resolved with right and godly doctrine. We talked about that from Colossians 1. Resolved with practice, as we looked in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, with our, again, not wrong traditions, but the way we have been brought up. We need to be very careful to stick with what God has given to us. We need to be resolved with our thoughts. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Be resolved to think godly things. Don't let your mind go and just imagine anything that's out there. It's a devil's workshop to allow yourself and your mind just to think about things. You know, and again, we brought it up last week, I believe, the question of what if. Those are dangerous things to go in, determined that you're not going to go down that path. That's how you can be watchful and how you can be ready, but also to be strong and steadfast. I will not go there. I've been counseling a person recently, and nobody here, but talking to them and just saying, we've got to be disciplined. We've got to be determined to stand strong, not to let the devil have an open door in our lives. Because the devil, as we already learned about as a roaring lion, is walking about. And you know what? He loves to come and knock on our doors. You know what the devil is waiting for? Is waiting for the door to crack just a little bit. And he has an amazing ability to slip right in that crack and step inside and then occupy our homes. And when I say our homes, I'm just really talking about your own mind, your own thoughts. He loves to do that. Listen, we cannot. When we sense the tracks or the smell of the devil, we get out of there, and we don't let him in. You know, some of you young guys, you know, you might like to learn the tracks of certain animals, and you can, oh, that's a deer, or that's a fox, or that's a raccoon, or that's a whatever. And we like to learn those tracks, and we like to be able to learn, you know, the evidence of that animal has been here. Folks, we need to be prudent to learn the tracks and the smell of the devil, of who he is, so that when he comes around, we can identify, wait a second, that's the devil, that's not God, that's not right, and I am getting out of here, and we're not going to open the door. We can let him knock and knock, but we're not opening it, family. See, that's what it means to be circumspect, but in this case, to be strong and to be steadfast, that we will not do it. You allow yourself to open the door just a little bit, and he loves to slip right in and ruin things. And so we've got to be steadfast, not to give place to the devil, not to let him come. Stand fast in the faith, resolved also then with Jesus. I'm not going to give in to who my Jesus is and all that he does. Let's move on. This is new territory. What's the third phrase? So Paul says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. And then he says, quit you like men. Now, in the English language, that's a unique phrase, to quit you. What does that phrase, quit you like men, mean? To quit is to behave in a specified way. Okay, to act in a certain way. Okay, so that makes sense. To quit, that's not the way we use it very often. Okay, but to quit you or behave you like a man here. He says to quit you like men. Very fancy words just to simply say you ought to behave like a man. Now, obviously, men, let's talk in our circles for just a moment. And I can say that I don't think it would be too far reaching to say, ladies, you need to act like a lady does as well. But in this passage here, we see we need to quit you like men, or to behave in a specified way. Do you understand what I mean? Not in a worldly manliness. Think just for a moment. How does the world portray manliness today? Just think about the way the world speaks of manliness. And I'll tell you, we've already talked last year, we talked a little bit about the difference between, you know, male and female, and how the world is doing what it's kind of combining the two so that there's no distinctions. And that's a very dangerous thing. We want distinction. Why do we want and preach distinction? Somebody tell me, why do we? Just because it's what we like? Why do we? That's the way God made it, right? I mean, it doesn't take an expert, whatever that means. It doesn't take an expert to delineate what a man is, what a lady is. You don't even need to be a Christian to understand that. You know what I'm talking about? Folks, it's not hard. But the world is confusing it. But what is the world portraying for even, let's say even manliness, okay, in the world? How is the world portraying manliness? Just go ahead and these things aren't, they don't have to be necessarily bad things, but just what is the world saying that a real man is? Go ahead. Okay, somebody strong. Good. What else? And strong could be in a lot of different ways, right? Strong physically, strong mentally, strong emotionally, strong all around, right? Strong, okay? There's a good word. Well, how else is the world? Again, these don't have to be bad things, but in our world, we would see that a man is portrayed as strong. What else? Brave. Good. Tough. Okay. And that's an interesting word because that's different than just strong. There's kind of like this tough, and if I could even change the first letter, rough even, right? Now, we know that that's not necessarily what's right, but the world portrays that. Okay, go down this that line of thinking just a little bit. How does the world portray a man? Okay, independent. Now, we talked about that this morning, right? We heard, but isn't that the case? Our world is kind of pumping independence from our men. Yeah. And we understand that just because the world is saying that it's right doesn't mean it's right. But a man these days, in a worldly perspective, a man, and what does he do? And how does he look? And how does he act? Daniel, you got a good one? You got your hand up anyway. You thinking of something or just stretching? Anybody else? What is a man?
Grown up.
Okay, grown up. Yeah, of course. He's going to grow and he's going to, you know, whatever. Could be, you know, some would say size. Wrong.
That we know it all.
Of course, if you're a man, you've got to know it all. Right? You've got to be understand everything. Okay? What else? You got one now, Daniel? Brave. Yes, a man is brave. And that's something that, you know, the world portrays. Anything else? Okay, big.
He submits to the ways of the world.
Okay, he might submit to
the
okay, he might submit to the ways of the world. And could I even add to what Ken said, though, but unwilling to submit to anyone or anything else, right? If I'm going to be a man, you know, they're going to have to come get through me. They're going to have to come through my door and they're going to, you know, have a double barrel, you know, pointed at them. You know, that's kind of a manly mentality these days is this, you know, you've got to have a gun, you've got to have this, and I'm not saying anything negative about a gun, but it's just like you've got to have this, and you've got to defy, maybe you've got to drive a big truck, you've got to have big wheels on that big truck, or whatever the case, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with any of these things, but what's the point of where I'm going at? Is that what we look to define manliness? Do you think God's definition of a man, when he was talking about David, a man after my own heart, do you think that David was this man that the world paints as a man today? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think that it matters so much to God that we have this or we have that or we drive this or we drive that or we... All the things that the world is saying that a real man is. Rather, we ought to go to what to understand what a man is? God's Word. God's Word. Oh, how different it is what God's Word says that a man is. And I didn't do a big study tonight to paint a picture of what God's Word says a true man is, but we understand that manliness, and by the way, when he says here, quit ye like men, he's talking about maturity. He's talking about maturity. He's talking about being a man rather than a child. I want you to act like a grown up is going to act, that is mature in his thinking, that is going to be watching, that is going to be steadfast, that is going to be godly. Let's look at a passage of Scripture. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Keep your fingers here. We'll come back, but go to 2 Timothy. go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's look at verses 3, 4, and 5. We're talking, you know, we see here, he doesn't necessarily talk about, you know, mankind or the male, but notice what he says here. Even in verse 1, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You know, that's really not what the world is saying today. Hey, all you men out there in America that's an American man, a tough man out there, you know, the world is not saying be strong in the grace in Christ Jesus. But I can tell you men, that's what God wants. That's how God delineates a man. You know, be strong in Christ. Be strong in his grace that is in Christ Jesus. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You know what he's saying there? He said a man is going to be willing to tell, to show, to help others what God has taught them or other people have taught them. That's what a man is. He goes on in verse 3. He says, "Thou for endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life," kind of like what Ken said, "that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." That's God. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. And he continues to go on in these verses here. Folks, I want to tell you that what God wants for manliness, when he says to quit you like men, he's not saying, "All right, all you young men, go out there and kill big bucks and drive big trucks." And he doesn't say all that. I didn't plan that rhyme in either. It just kind of came out. Now again, is there anything wrong with getting a buck? I hope to get one this year. Is there anything wrong with driving a big truck? There's nothing wrong with that. But God says, "I want you to be a godly man. I want you to be a man of God that's willing to stand up. I want you to be a man of God that's going to obey. I want you to be a man of God that will submit to my authority." And again, we could go into it, but be a man, not like the world defines, but that God defines. And of course, we could do a big study on what does God say a godly man should look like. And I would love to look into that at another time, but not tonight. I think we get that in Ephesians chapter 6 tells us some things about being a godly man. Really quickly, we're in Galatians, we're not in Galatians. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 really quick. Ephesians chapter 6. Biblical manliness, and somebody already mentioned about the armor of God. But, you know, what does God want us to do? God wants us not to be strong ourselves. You know, even some of you mentioned, you know, the world tells us we got to be strong or we've got to be tough. You know, honestly, the strength that God wants, you know, God's not lining up all the men in front of a bench press. I'm sorry, he's just not going to do that. He's not looking to see the men that can, you know, the top five men in the church, you know, are going to be the spiritual leaders. That's not what God does. Whoever can lift the most and whoever can do that, you know, that's not the way God chooses men. God doesn't choose, you know, godly men aren't the guys that can drive the nail the fastest either. Or that can cut, you know, with a circular saw, you know, just like on a table saw. You know what? That's a great thing that a man can do, but that's not God's perspective. Rather, God says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He says, listen, I don't want you pulling from your own strength. I want you pulling from my strength. That's what a godly man is. To be a man that is dependent. Listen, guys, dependent upon him and not independent, like we learned this morning. And we could continue to study what a godly man is. He said, quit ye like men. Be biblical in your maturity. Ladies, behave like ladies. And I'm not going to get into that tonight, but be a lady. Ladies, cherish being a lady, and you be a lady. You be a woman after God's own heart also. You know, the Bible teaches, there's passages of Scripture that teach us how to be a lady and goes through and gives very clear instruction of what a wife, what a mother, what a lady of God, what a widow indeed, you ladies that have lost your husbands, what a widow indeed is all about. We can go to the Word of God and learn that. You know, the world teaches what a lady is today, and I'm telling you, it's the wrong mentality of what God says. God doesn't care about fashion. God doesn't care about a style of hair. God doesn't care about all the things that make a beautiful lady. God cares about the inward lady. That's what God cares about. And here, you know, Paul is writing and he's closing out his letter to the Corinthian people and he says, quit you. Behave like I made you. I made you a man. I made you a lady. Now you behave that way. You act like that. God is not looking for men to be anything less than a man, and God is not looking for ladies to be anything different than a lady. And by the way, ladies, you count it a privilege to be a lady, to look like a lady, to act like a lady, to talk like a lady. That's what God wants, and God is pleased. And I will tell you, I've already told you this last year when we were going through it, I will say this, I believe it's us and our stance that makes a big impact on the world of what a man and what a lady is. And I said this last year, and I know it's bold, but I think it's the church's fault. I think it's Christians' fault. I think it's our fault that we have blown over the distinction of man and woman. We have blown that over, and we are the ones that are making it difficult for the world to understand what it is because we know better, and we've mixed it up. We've mixed it up in how we act. We've mixed it up with our dress. We've mixed it up with the way we talk, the way we pursue a career, and all those things. I think we have blown it for the world. We ought to be the ones demonstrating what it is like to be a man, what it is like to be a woman, what it is like to be a wife, what it is like to be a keeper at home, what it is like to be a man that's willing to go to work and to earn, you know, money for his family and to be the godly example, to bring him to church and to raise him in the Word of God. We've blown it. And the world's confused today. And so that's another subject. But he says here, behave the way I made you. Behave like a man, men, and behave like a woman, ladies. And so quit you like men. Behave the way I made you. All right, we move on. He says next, he says, be strong. Be strong. And so we look at this back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. And I kind of already alluded to this, that be strong, be continually receiving God's strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In Ephesians, we read, that's to be a recipient of his strength. He's not telling all of us to strengthen ourselves up. You know, some of you ladies, you say, I want to be a strong lady. I don't want to admit any weakness. God never intends us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and be strong. He doesn't ever intend us to grit our teeth in the morning and say, I'm going to do right. I'm going to be the lady that God wants me to be. I'm going to be the man that God wants me to be. No, it's to be a receiver. Remember this morning, we're receivers. To be receptive of his strength. And very simply, do you know how we do that? It's almost so easy that it blows our minds. How can I wake up in the morning and not be strong physically or emotionally or whatever, but I'm just supposed to be a receiver of God's strength? I'll tell you, it's very simple. God, I need you today. So practical. It's recognition before God. I can't, you can. Be a receiver of God's strength. It's kind of like, how can you get saved? Do we got to go work hard? We've got to go live good? Is there something that we can do to get up our salvation? And a lot of people think that. I've got to be this to be saved. And what does God say? Just depends, right? Place your dependence. Place your dependence on God. And to be a receiver of his grace. And the same thing with being strong is to be a recipient. He's the supplier, we are the receiver. To be the recipient of his strength. So to be strong is just to say, God, I'm not strong. Can you help me to be strong? God, today, I don't know what you have going on tomorrow, but maybe you need strength to go through your day tomorrow. How can you be strong according to the scriptures here? simply wake up in the morning and say, God, I need your strength. I need your strength. I can't do it. When the bucket is empty, God is there to fill it. When the bucket is full, he can't fill it because it's already full. You see, when we wake up in the morning and we grit our teeth and we clench our fists and we say, today I'm going to be a man of God. I'm going to do right. I'm going to respond right to my wife. I'm going to respond right to my coworkers. I'm going to do right. I'm going to have devotions. I'm not going to fall asleep. I'm going to do right today. All the things that you might struggle with, I'm going to do right today. When we do that, we're filled with ourselves and God can't come in. When we wake up and say, God, I can't do anything you asked me to do today. The bucket's empty and God can come in and says, well, listen, I'll be your strength today. I'll help you do that. That's what it means to be strong. To be strong is to be a recipient of God's strength. And that's what he tells them. To be strong in his strength versus strong in self-strength. God, I need you. He wants us to be strong in his strength. He wants us to be strong in spirit. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at verses 9 and 10. Do you remember, Paul is going through this, and you remember Paul's weakness? Paul's struggling? And you know this verse, these verses. Paul is writing, and he's talking about a weakness that he had. Of course, we know that Paul had referred to a thorn in the flesh. Verse 7, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And he asked in verse 8 for it to be taken away three times. And this is what God said. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul concludes, see, those were God's words. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now Paul is saying, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. What I'm meaning here is strong in spirit. You know, is Paul saying he's strong physically here? Not really. In fact, he admitted his weakness. But in his weakness, though, God fills him and he's strong in his spirit. He doesn't feel like he can do anything, but he knows that God has come in and he can do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's talking about being strong in him. I don't have the strength to do this, but he does. And in my spirit, I'm going to go forward. And I tell you what, that's what you saw this morning in Discovery Bible Studies. We've got an elderly gentleman that had been given the promises of God, that no doubt, you know, at 80, what did he say, 85, 84, 85? 85 years old. Now again, I don't know what 85-year-old man looked like back then. I don't know. Maybe he was, you know, stronger than I am. I don't know. But he was 85 and he was saying, you know, he's kind of like, I feel stronger than I have in, you know, since when I was young, you know. And I know some of you guys might feel that way too. I don't know. Jim says, no, I don't feel that way. But that's the way he felt. But, you know, I don't really think that Caleb was so strong physically. You know what he was strong in? Spirit. Because, and who was his strength, by the way? Who had always been his strength? Always. The Lord. You remember when he and Joshua went in, the spies went into the land. Who was their strength? Were Joshua and Aaron, were Joshua and Caleb looking at each other's muscles? You think they were like in front of the mirror, you know, going like that? We're like, we can take them. Is that what they were doing? Not exactly. You're right, Bettina, not exactly. Was that what David was doing when Goliath was in front of them? Look at this, Goliath. That's not what David was doing. Who was all these guys? Who was their strength? I don't come to you, David says. I'm not going to this guy in my strength. I'm going in the name of God. And that's what Caleb and Joshua said too. I'm not going out in my strength. I'm going out. You see, these men were strong in spirit. God's not asking us to be strong. God's not asking you to have a lot of money. God's not asking you to have a lot of possessions. God's not asking you to have a degree in theology. God is asking you to be a recipient of His strength. Come to me. I won't cast you out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, Paul, who's weak and has an infirmity. Come to me. Listen, I can take care of you. Paul is encouraging these people to be strong in their spirit, to be strong in the strength that God has provided, to be strong in spirit. And I would say thirdly, very closely and strong in spirit, but strong in hope and trust. The first chapter of Discovery Bible Studies, it's been more than weeks ago, it might have even been a couple months ago, Joshua chapter 1. You remember some of the key verses in Joshua chapter 1? Be strong and of a good courage, right? And don't be afraid. And all these things. We look at all this and we see, Joshua going in, the hope and trust was based on God. For us, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Paul is writing and he's saying, listen, be alert and awake. Watch. He says to stand fast and stand strong. He said, listen, don't give ground. He says to quit ye like men. He said, I want you to act the way I made you. The way God has made you. Act that way. You act the way that I have desired for you. He says, be strong. Be strong. And then lastly, and we're done. Lastly, he says in verse, let me get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He says in verse 14, and let all your things be done with charity. You know, it's interesting. Paul does this. This is not the first time he's done this. He'll make some specific statements of things to do, and then he'll give a big generalized statement that covers everything. He says, in everything you do, make sure that it's done with charity, love. There's not a thing that you ought to do that's not with love. Quit you like men. You better do it in love. Stand strong. Listen, I'm going to stand strong even though everybody else is wicked. No, he says you better do it in love. I'm going to separate myself from the things of the world and I'm going to act like a Christian. Better do it in love. In everything you do, make sure that it's got love involved. See, there's been a lot of men and women that have watched. Can you watch and not do it with love? I would say you can. Listen, and not biblically, but I would say, you can be a person that is like, listen, I'm going to watch and I'm going to protect my family and where I do, and my family is going to stay above everybody else. And we're not going to do this and we're not going to do that. And before long, you're looking down your nose at everybody else and guess what? It's not with love. And you know what God says to that? What does Paul tell us in 1 Corinthians 13? It's just like a noise, right? It's worth nothing to me. So we can watch And we can be determined, and we can act the man and act the lady, and we can be strong in the Lord. And he says, but you better make sure that it's all in love. And by the way, biblical love has everything to do with me behind you, putting you in front of me. It's not about me, it's about you. It's taking a second seat, a second chair, saying, listen, it's not about me. It's not about my way. It's not about my agenda. It's not about my schedule. It's not about my money. Others first. Time, giving, money, whatever it is, it's not me. Doing that in love. All in love. If we're not going to do it, you can be the most spiritual person in the world. But if it's not in love, it's worth nothing. And so Paul concludes with that thought. He said, make sure that you're loving in all that you're doing. All your things, all your actions, all that you're doing, all your ministry, make sure that it's done in love. These are Paul's closing statements. Now, he's going to have some salutations. He's going to say goodbye. This person says goodbye. But honestly, Paul is pretty much done here. He said, listen, these things are important. I leave you with these. I leave with these. Watch. Be on diligent guard. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Quit ye like women. Be strong. Make sure. Everybody listening, Faith Bible Church, make sure that everything you do in your life is loving God and others before yourself. Father, thank you for what you have given to us. Thank you what Paul gave to this church. Paul gave this church some amazing things, and 1 Corinthians has just been packed with all kinds of things that we have been learning through the years. It's taken us a long time to go through 1 Corinthians. God, we're thankful for all the things that we could learn. God, at this final conclusion, as we look at these closing guidance rules that he gives, God, would you help us to follow these things, and we would be the Christians, the men of God, the women of God that you've called us to be. God, help us. I don't know how you've helped people here tonight, but Lord, I pray that they've been encouraged to be the men and women of God that you've called them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.